First week we did Jesus' mercy. Then we did Jesus' peace. Last week we did Jesus' grace. Okay, this week we're doing Jesus is a friend. Thank goodness, all right? Jesus is a friend. I want to encourage you to take notes. You get notes, you go to heaven. No notes, you don't go. No, I'm only kidding. Take notes. Some of you, it helps you remember. Some of you, praise God. You walk in, you have sticky notes. Take notes. It helps you remember the message, the series, okay? So we're going to talk about Jesus being a friend. Now, how many of you have read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And as I was preparing for Jesus as a friend, I started noticing that Jesus liked to hang out with a specific kind of people. And then there was a bunch of people, kind of people he didn't like to hang out with. So there's some he likes to hang out with, and some he doesn't like to hang out. Some of them, I don't like hanging out with you, I'm not hanging out with you, all right? I need two volunteers, so I want to illustrate this. Two volunteers, you'll be standing. Okay, one more volunteer. Randy, get up here. Come on, come on. Because I can do this, here we go. Randy's over here. Randy represents a sinner. Hold your sign. Randy represents a sinner, and this is Diana. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to do this today. Okay, this is Diana. She represents the religious folk. Okay, the religious folk. Now, I'm still smiling, so I didn't think that was bad. Okay, so I am religious, okay? Now, in the scenario we're going to talk about, Randy represents a sinner, but in the scenario, Randy actually is a good guy. And in the scenario, Diana is religious, and she's actually a bad guy. And you go, what Bible are you reading, Pastor D? I'm reading the Bible, though, okay? So we got the sinner that's sort of like the good guy, and we got the religious, that's the bad guy. Okay, some of you are already on it. But, you know, this is what I noticed. Jesus was gravitated. That's a good word. Jesus was often gravitated, drawn towards this guy. And he had lunch with them. He hung out with them. He didn't judge them. He didn't condemn them. This guy. But, by the way, this is a sinner. He's a sinner, okay? And it's kind of interesting, even in the church today, not this church. Everybody say that church. That church. even in the church today, Christians, the church, they don't like to hang out with this guy. Matter of fact, they kind of keep their distance, all right? And most Christians like to gravitate towards this bunch. Okay, interesting. That's not our church, though, right? Okay. Now, the religious people of that day actually hated Jesus. He hated them. Now, Jesus loved them, but Jesus also didn't really like to hang out with them, all right? Okay, they really were not his favorite. Not the favorite, okay? Now, how many of you have friends? Raise your hand. How many of you have certain friends you really like to hang out with? Yep, okay. Well, Jesus, so you don't think it's not you, but Jesus had this particular kind of people he liked to hang out with, this kind of people, all right? Now, it wasn't that he didn't love this bunch over here. He just didn't really like to hang out with them, okay? Matter of fact, Jesus would be coming and you'd start taking a couple steps backwards. You'd keep your distance from Jesus. Okay, good. Okay, now, the church has kind of done the same thing. Not ours, right? It's the church down there, right? The church has sort of done the same things. We've kind of built up walls, and we kind of keep our distance. Right? And no, listen, the church doesn't do it on purpose, really. Most don't do it on purpose, but they sort of believe if I stay away from him, I'm a better person, right? I'm better because I stay away from him. Now, back to the Pharisees. The Pharisees of that day actually hated sin. Everybody say, I hate sin. But the problem with the Pharisees, the religious that day, they hated sin, but then they'd hate the sinner. They hated sin, but they'd hate the sinner. You can smile, sinner. Go ahead. And the thing is, the church today is not too much different. Really. The church people would say, oh, Pastor D, I hate sin. And yet, we sin. And then we go, but yeah, but Pastor D, I hate gross sin. You know, the bad stuff. So, I hate the sinner. Listen, we don't hate the sinner, right? Right. Pedophiles, rapists, murderers, we don't hate them. We don't hate them, right? But the Pharisees thought, I need to keep distance from these kind of people. I need, because, you know, we're better because we don't do sin. Yeah, right. You know, so I'm going to keep my distance. And as a matter of fact, they're evil people. So I'm going to keep away from them, right? Now, Jesus comes down and he says, we are going to change the way this game's been played. You guys, I don't like that you hate the sinner. So we're going to change the way the game is played. Besides, you hate me. You don't like me. So we're going to change the way the game is played. And I'm going to hang out, go to lunch with this guy. Yay! Matter of fact, I'm kind of drawn to the sinner. And I am going to show them that I love them, right? All right. Let's give them a big hand. Thanks. You can throw them up there. All righty. Thanks, guys. Would you open up to Luke chapter 19? All of that was to illustrate what Jesus talks about. Jesus is a friend. Diana's like, oh, good. All right. Luke chapter 19, the story of a tax collector, Zacchaeus. He's an interesting kind of guy because Zacchaeus is a sinner, okay? And today I want to show you how Jesus dealt with sinners. How did Jesus deal with sinners? Because that's the way we're supposed to deal with them. All right, Jesus. Now, the reason why I want to do this is I started thinking of sharing Jesus as a friend and how Jesus dealt with sinners is a couple of years ago, especially when we started, when Sherry came back on board and we started the youth ministry, I felt like YCF, us all, UNs, I wanted us to be acceptable of the lost, of the not churched, of those that are far from God. And right away, man, we had youth that were coming. Do you know that the keypad to get into the office downstairs, we have a keypad, you have to punch in a number to get into the office? Because for the first time in 20-some years, we were having drug dealers in our youth group, and it was a good idea to lock the door. We love them, but, you know, it's just like, okay. So Sherry and I were wanting to make this place, YCF, every time we open the doors, a place that is accessible to those kind of people. All right? Now, that gets a little messy, but I'm messy. And I got news. I've hung around most of you. You're a little messy on a few days, okay? So we were praying, and our heart was we want to make YCF accessible to the lost, to the sinners, to a place that they would feel like they could come in. Years ago, I've had this friend, June. June lives in my neighborhood. She just recently moved. And June goes to a very nice, very prestigious denominational church up the road here. And I would tell her about the kind of people that would come to YCF. And she said, wow, and she almost cried. I wish they would welcome people like that in our church. I thought, really? Okay, that's the church down the road, right? Okay. And so we're believing, but it's going to take you believing and seeing my heart, which is God's heart, that we want to make this place accessible for people who are far from God, to the lost, to the sinners, to the down and dirty. All right? So you think that's God's vision? Yes. Is that our vision? Yes. Okay. Now, unfortunately, church down the road, not this church, but churches have this attitude. It's a club attitude. This is my club. And you're going to come in here and you're going to take my seat? Raise your hand if you sit in that same seat every week. No, don't raise your hand. And they're going to come in and take your seat. You're coming here? Okay, we get this club added. This is my club. And you might mess up my club. You might mess up my club. And that's what Christians and churches do sometimes. Okay, but I really want us at YCF, because we have the heart of God, to have this heart that everybody should be able to come here and not feel judged. Okay? Not feel judged. Okay? Because you know what's happened is God never had a rating system of sin. God doesn't rate sin. And we do. So then when they come in here, you're like, oh, they're really a sinner. And then, oh my gosh. All right? That's not good. So Jesus, back to Jesus. Jesus comes to the earth and he does not rate sin. As a matter of fact, he's going to go have lunch with the sinners. He's going to go into their house with the sinner, the worst sinners, and hang out with them. Yep, that's what he's going to do. So let's read. I'm not lost. Here we go. I'm reading again out of the New Living Translation. I might have to get a new one because I've underlined things and I need some new colors going here. Okay, Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. We don't hear that name too often. Anybody name their baby Zacchaeus? Okay. First off, see, I type my notes because I'm a little OCD. Okay, do you know how many letters are in Zacchaeus? But I can spell it now. Okay. Just trivia. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was one of the most influential Jews in the Roman tax collecting business. And he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road so he could watch from there. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down, for I must be a guest in your house today. I love that. Listen, it tells me that this guy was a sinner, right? A tax collector, not the IRS guy, even though sometimes we think they are. Sinners, all right, these taxes. But this was a very influential, bad tax collector, a chief tax collector. Now, Jesus knew that. Matter of fact, Jesus knew his name. He's walking down the street, looks up. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. You know what that tells me? Jesus knows all the worst sinners in Dover, in West York. Hey, we're sinner Zacchaeus. Come on down. Okay. But listen, what you need to know, Jesus knew, but you need to know he was a chief tax collector. That means he had guys that worked underneath him, and they had guys that worked underneath him, and he took a cut off of all their stuff, and he was really, he ripped people off of their taxes money. Now, he was a tax collector for the Roman government, and he lived in thank you. Okay, Israel, Jericho. Okay, so who is he taking his tax money from? Jews, the Israelites. Okay, and they're giving it to the, and I just wrote my big tax check this morning to put in the mail. Hallelujah. Okay, but he's ripping them off on top of just collecting taxes, you know, and I know how much mine is because I've been audited or whatever they come over and, what do they do that thing? What do they, tell you how much your house is worth. Okay. Thank you. That's that good word. And if you put an addition, flump. It's like, really? Okay. So here is this chief, notorious, bad, worst sinner, the head guy, and Jesus knows him by name. And he looks up and he says, come down quickly. I must go to your house today. Okay. You know, in today's language, we would call him the mobster. He's the head of the mob, right? And everybody hated him. But Jesus says, oh, Zacchaeus, come down quickly. I must go have lunch with you. I hated them. All right, so that's where Jesus is. Now, when Jesus made this statement, who's hanging out with Jesus? He's walking on the road to Jericho. Who's he with? His disciples, because where Jesus goes, they go. All right, so he's with the disciples. It also says he's with a crowd. Okay, so there's crowd people, disciple people, and who else people following right behind? The religious, the Pharisees, okay, the religious bunch. And so I'm Jesus and I got this crowd, my guys, those guys, and those guys. And I look up and I say, hey, Zacchaeus, come down quickly. I'm going to your house. How do you think those guys? All right, well, we'll read. I'm jumping ahead here. Let's see. Verse 6. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus into his house with great excitement and joy. But the crowd was displeased. The crowd was displeased. What part of crowd was that? I think it was disciples. They're going for lunch. We don't complain about that. Yeah, you know who was complaining, right? Yeah, okay. So, they're complaining. Now, when Jesus says, I want to go to your house for a meal, it's not we're going to drive by and get a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken with those good biscuits and we're going to eat at my house. You made the meal. You made the meal, and the meal probably lasted 2 or 3 hours. So here's Jesus saying this really loud. Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down quickly. I'm going to your house today. And those guys are complaining and grumbling because he's going to hang out with that kind of guy. Okay? All right. Now, Jesus is going to have lunch. All right. Now, what do you think Zacchaeus is thinking right about then? Well, he's got two thoughts going. He's got the battle of the brain going on. He's got one thought going, Jesus. I've heard about him. He's pretty famous. He's a pretty nice guy. And he does these wow miracles. Jesus is coming to my house. And then right away he's going, Jesus. I'm kind of notorious for ripping people off. And the house that I'm going to take you to, I bought with money that I ripped off half of Israel with. And the money that I'm going to have my meal prepared with for you, I kind of stole that from everybody. OMG. Jesus is coming to my house. So I think he's got this thing going here, right? I would. All right. Okay, verse 7. But the crowd was displeased. He's gone to be with a guest of a notorious sinner. Notorious sinner. I love that. All right. Notorious. Whew, that guy had a reputation, didn't he? And Jesus is going to his house. Now, in the nicest possible way, I'm going to say this about the church and Christian people. The church, not on purpose, I really don't think we do this on purpose. I don't think we try to be mean and ugly. But what we've done is we only want to hang out with the saved. So then we hang out with the saved and we get more spiritual. Woo! And you know, and then we do the Christianese thing. And just perchance, the sinner walks in, the lost, we don't call them sinners when they walk in the door. Please don't. Okay, the faraway person walks in the door. They don't have a clue what you're talking about. Right? They don't have a clue. They're probably got their app phone and looking up the words. What'd she say? All right? So, but listen, the Bible scholars say the Bible was written on a fourth grade level. Praise God. After that, it got hard. Okay? And you know why? So everybody can understand. So when we have churches, not our church, okay? I'm definitely not on a fourth grade level. Are you kidding me? Okay. I taught second grade. I had a choice, second or fifth, and I thought, I can still spell better than a second grader. And this is before computers, guys, so that is why I picked second, all right? That is why the Bible's written so everybody can understand. It is. So you ought to read it, right? All right, so here we got Zacchaeus, who's climbed up in a tree, and Jesus tells him to get down quickly. Now, I'm going to throw a little twist your brain thought in here. In this story, this tree, okay, Zacchaeus had climbed up in a tree, to try to see Jesus. And personally, that tree represents our religious ways. We try to climb up a tree so we can get God's attention. You know, we try to work things, do things, so we can, God, did you look at me? Did you look at me? That's what that tree represents to me as I read this story. It's a religious tree. And what does Jesus say right away? Quickly get down off the tree, Zacchaeus. And he comes running down. So, you know, when I think about what God wants to tell us, would you get off your tree and stop trying for me to get attention, you know, by doing things? Such as, if God, I'm going to make all these confessions of your word so you can do something for me. That's a religious tree. Listen, been there, done that, and occasionally I'm on the tree, all right? Another religious tree, and I have to catch myself because of my upbringing of works. I'm praying, so God, if I pray 3 hours, then you're going to do it. That's a religious tree. Anybody ever been on that tree? Pull me off if you see me on that, wouldn't you? I do that. And listen, this is what we also do. Okay, so I once was lost, but now I'm saved. Hallelujah. I once was lost and used to do bleep, 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 bad, bad, but now I'm saved. Okay? And now I'm saved, and I run across that kind of person. Really should have been that kind of person, and I become the judge, the jury, and the prosecutor because, man, I can't believe what I heard about you. You're still doing that? Okay, you're on a tree. You're on a tree. That's not a good tree, right? All right, so what does Jesus say to him? Come down quickly. Get off your tree, Zacchaeus. Oh, I love it. I love it. So, and you know, the reason why is, when you're on a tree, you're on religion. And religion is not a relationship with the Most High God, with the Savior. But Christianity is all about a relationship. Okay? So get off the tree. Get into that relationship. Amen? Now, Jesus says, come down from that religious tree. And he does. Now, he comes down off of that tree. Zacchaeus gets off of that tree, and he takes Jesus to his house. All right? He's in the house. And what starts happening in Zacchaeus' life? Now, he's off the tree, off the road, and he's in his house. Who else is in the house? Jesus is in the house. And something starts happening to Zacchaeus' life. Something starts happening to his heart. Okay, now we're going to read. All right, verse 8, here we go. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if, I love the if. Listen, how many times, God, if I did this wrong, you know you did it. Just erase the if, okay? If I have overcharged, are you kidding me? People on their taxes, I will give back to them four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this house, for this man has shown himself to be a son of Abraham, and I, the Son of Man, have come to seek and save those who are lost. Oh, I'm so glad. All right. Now, something's happening in Zacchaeus' heart. How do I know? He says, I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor. And on top of that, if I have stolen from anybody in Israel, I'm going to give back four times as much. You know what's happened in his heart? And nobody had to read the four spiritual laws till salvation. This is what you need to do to get saved. Listen, he had an encounter with Jesus and he repented. Repent means to turn from. Okay, I am notorious tax collector. I'm stealing and ripping you off. And now I'm going to give half of what I own to the poor. And if I've ripped you off, I'm going to give back four times. That's what's going on in his heart. That is repentance. That's repentance. Okay? A turn. All right. And you know what else is going on in Zacchaeus' heart? Just a little thought. I'm thinking, holy crud, I'm going to be poor now. I think he thought about it. You give half of everything you own plus four times. Yeah, it's just it's not in the Bible. Okay, it's not the gospel truth, but think on that one. All right. Okay, so what happens here? Jesus says, come down. Zacchaeus makes this proclamation. Whoa. I don't know how much time they're sitting there eating. What had happened? I don't know if they got the appetizers or the roast lamb or what's the Jewish dessert? One of those. Macaroons. I didn't know if they got to the macaroons. But somewhere in the middle of that, Zacchaeus goes, wait a minute, Jesus, I got to say something. Now listen, who else is at dinner? Disciples and Zacchaeus' friends. It says his friends. We had dinner. Okay, now he probably doesn't have you Israelites for a friend. So who's his friends? All the other tax collectors. And he says, wait a minute, Jesus. I'm going to give half of everything I own. And these guys are listening. All right? Okay. There was a serious heart change. And all because somebody had an encounter with Jesus. And a couple verses before, I forgot what it was. Jesus, when Jesus told him to come down, it says that Zacchaeus got excited and ran with joy. You have an encounter with Jesus, you should be excited. When you drag your body in here, oh, Pastor, he's going to preach. Oh, my gosh. No, we should come to church. We should, because we're coming to the house of the Lord. Jesus is here. And by the way, you have Jesus in you. Okay. You don't do that. That's the church down there. You guys come in. Yeah. Amen. Okay. So I don't know where I am here. Repent. Turn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Repent. Turn. Let me think. All right. Can I just, okay, I have a Bible trivia. Every once in a while I Google it. What does Zacchaeus mean? Bing. You know what it means in the Hebrew and the Greek? Pure. Clean. So Jesus says, Zacchaeus, you pure, clean guy, come on down. I'm going to your house today. And he's going, what are you kidding me? Everybody around is going, what are you kidding me? So you need to name your baby Zacchaeus. Okay. Jesus tells all of us to come off of that tree, the worst sinners. Because he has paid a price for you. And your sins have been paid for. And that's how he sees you. Pure, clean, righteous, holy. Not because you cleaned up your act. My gosh, you could fall on the floor and cry. That's what Jesus does. And all you have to do, it's not a tree thing, it's just receive it. Just receive it. And there's lost. I once was lost. And finally, one day I received it. Man, the weight of sin was gone. Do I still sin? Oh my gosh, yes. Drive with me. Okay. Yeah, I still sin. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, just to wrap up, I'm going to give you 4 points. Because, you know, I always give you 3 points or 4 points. So it's the pastor perfect way to do a message. 4 points on how to have a relationship with Jesus. The first point is not so good. The fourth point, that's where we want to get. So the first point is not so good. Number one. Okay, number one. First, everybody say, Jesus is a friend. Jesus. Amen. And he's my friend. Everybody say that. He's my friend. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is my friend. Amen. Now, we have been talking about a story. I'm not lost. I'm going to go back to the points. Where Jesus was a friend to a sinner. Okay, I once was a sinner. And if he was a friend to a sinner, guess what he is now even more? He's my friend. And this friend of mine, in my worst, I've screwed up. I don't like saying that. That's not ladylike. Messed up. Doesn't walk away. He comes into my life. That's my friend. That's my friend. Now, I've got some friends. Man, life got ugly and I got ugly. And they walk out of that. But not my friend, Jesus. Right? Okay. He will always stay there. He will always be there. That's my friend. Tell everybody. Tell your guy next to me. That's my friend. It's my friend Jesus. Amen. Everybody say, Jesus is my friend. All right. Hey, speaking of that, y'all remember the song, Israel, what's this guy last name? Houchen, what's his name? Anyway, I am a friend of God. It wasn't until I started preparing this message, I was like, I got it! 10 years later on the song. But the song goes, I know, I'm a friend of God. And then he says, who am I that you would be mindful of me? And then you go, I'm a friend of God. That's why. Who am I? The guy over here. Who am I that you would be mindful of me? My answer, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. Now listen, I am a child of God. My kids are my kids because they didn't have any choice. They're my kids, okay? But listen, this one, it develops a friend. Everybody say, I'm a friend of God. Man. So I hope you sing that song. That was so stuck in my brain. Okay, I'm a friend of God. Okay, point number one, stage one. In your relationship with Jesus, this is stage one. This is a not too good. Everybody say, not too good, okay? This is probably these people here. That church over there. I'm a good person. If you're taking notes, this is good refrigerator stuff. I'm a good person. So I'm justified in criticizing bad people. I am justified. I'm a good person. So I'm justified in criticizing bad people. In case you haven't noticed, the church has been experts at that. And in case you didn't know, Jesus says, don't judge. I think that's Matthew 7. Don't judge. Come on, scream it with me. Don't judge. It says, do not judge. And it says, take the beam out of your eye and stop trying to take the speck out of this guy. Don't judge. Who said that? Jesus said that. So first stage, not too good. Not too good. Now, we get really good at picking. I like to call it fuzzies on a sweater. You ever have that fuzzy sweater with all the little pilly balls on it? We get really good at just standing there and picking out all your faults. And we end up, the Bible says in Galatians, we start devouring one another. Okay? But the Bible says you ought not do that. Don't do that. It's bad. Because when you devour, you're criticizing. Now, is that the relationship that Jesus has with you that you should have with others? No. Okay, so that's kind of good. That's not good. Excuse me. That's not good. All right. Number two. So number one, we are not to criticize people because we think we're better than them. We're just not to criticize and judge, all right? John 3:16. I got to do this one. Where's my... Okay, here it is. John 3:16. Open it up because we get stuck on 3:16 and we forget 17. Ha! Look at this one. John 3:16. Now we all... For God so loved the world. Okay, but I'm going to read it. For God so greatly loved the world, this is Amplified, that he dearly prized the world, that he even gave up his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him, cling to him, rely on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, but have everlasting eternal life. This is what we forget, 17. You know, we memorize, for God so loved the world that he gave, we memorize 16. We ought to memorize 17. Look at 17. That's an ouchie, okay? For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge it. So who do you think you are? He didn't come to judge the world. All right? I love the Amplified. To reject, condemn, pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe through him. That's why God sent Jesus, not to judge. So don't judge. Okay? That's a good one. Yeah. Okay. Number two stage. I'm a good person. Everybody say, I'm a good person. Okay. So I show compassion on the bad people. I once was lost, but now I'm saved. Oh, you poor darling. There's an attitude behind that. And how many of you have seen this sign, the particular people? Nobody here. They stand on a street corner. Oh, don't say that. Don't say it. I might even know that person. Okay. It says, you're a sinner. You're going to. I love little kids. When you teach the little kids downstairs, they're not supposed to be bad words. So when we get to say this word, they're all like, hell! And they're just sitting there. So anyway. You're a sinner. You're going to. Well, come on. You're a sinner. You're going to hell. Okay. But we're praying for you. Yeah. Guess what this is? Judging. Condemning. You know what we should do? You really? This is what we should do. This is all should be up there. We're praying for you. Listen, sinners know they're sinners. I mean, if you really get them cornered in a nice corner, okay? They know they're sinners, all right? They just don't know that God loves them. God loves them so much that he sent his son that's already paid a price for them, all right? And they don't have to be that way, live that way. They need to come into a relationship. This should be the sign on the corner. Got to sneak and do a little graffiti on them. Well, I tell you what. As you read about me in the newspaper the next day. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so we need to stop doing that. Stop judging. So number two, I'm showing compassion. That's not compassion. Compassion is when you show people God's love. All right? You show people God's love, and then they have an encounter. And then just maybe you have a relationship with that person, then you can start talking about it. But let me tell you, Jesus does such a better job, all right? So we don't judge. We don't judge, all right? Number three stage, I'm a sinner who needs just as much help as the next guy. Okay, we're getting a little better here, right? So probably this person's come along the way and had a revelation. I once was a sinner, but now I'm saved, and man, I still need help, just like the next guy. Okay, that's good. We're getting better, right? You getting better? Yeah, you're getting better. Okay. Now, this is how you have to see this, though. How about Randy, sinner? Randy, sinner over here, comes into this place, and, you gotta head back in the game. And he comes into this place, and he's listened to this whole thing, and he goes, man, I am a sinner. I don't even think about it. I know I'm a sinner. And you know what I go? That's okay. Look at me. Put that phone down. Look at that. I'm going to say that's okay. And then Randy goes, yeah, but you don't know, I've been high all last night in here, and I'm, you know, and you're sounding really good. That's okay. I'm not going to judge you. Matter of fact, when the lost, listen, look around here. I know everybody's name, okay? So when somebody new walks in here, you can say, oh, they're lost. All right, why don't you go, I love Antonio. Where's Antonio? Hi, I'm Antonio. How you doing? You want to sit with me? I was a sinner, okay? And I need as much help, and I'm going to extend it. I'm not going to judge. That's how church should be. Okay, last one. Ooh, hey, I'm doing good. Didn't even make there. Oh, let me tell you about a pastor friend of mine up in Ohio told me this story, and I thought, you got to be kidding. You have got to be kidding. That church down the road. So it's Easter time, and they have this huge, you know, 6-foot Easter bunny. And on their marquee, it says, Easter Bunny going to hell. Cross my heart, do not lie. That's my pastor friend. He doesn't lie. I'm just repeating what he told me. And so what they did on Easter morning, the whole church gathers around, and they light the Easter Bunny on fire. Not lying, telling you the whole truth. Okay? Can you imagine poor, traumatized little kids? Oh, Easter Bunny. And then Christmas comes. Guess what they do? Santa's going to hell. Pfft. Come on. Gosh. Listen, we bring people to a relationship with Jesus. Light the bunny. Light the bunny. You know, you bring people to a relationship. Take, for instance, way back in 19 whatever, we were told, Dolores and us, you can't go to the movies. I didn't grow up in that quite generation. That denomination, really. Okay, or you can't play cards. The devil's in the cards. Oh, yeah, you can't dance. Okay. All right, you start telling people they can't, they don't, they do not do, and until they have a relationship, you know, you'll catch better fish when you tell them what God has done is love, that he sent his only son, his son, and he died for him and he paid a price. You'll catch fish. You'll catch fish. You don't need a Bic lighter then. Crack me up. All right. Last one. Okay. Stage 4. This is a part of my relationship with Jesus that I want to get to. I am loved by Jesus. I am loved by Jesus just as I am. Whether I'm a good today or not so good. Whether I'm sinning today or I'm not sinning. Everybody say, I'm loved by Jesus. So is the next guy. So is everyone else. All right? So, I am loved by Jesus just as I am, and so is everybody else. So, what would your life look like if you understood that every time you went to God, every time you went to Jesus, every time you went to church, every time you went and raised your hand and worshiped, God loved me. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't raise my hand. You don't know the war we had in the car before we even got here. I'm not raising my hand. But listen, what would happen if we knew God wasn't judging us? Should be able to do this. God's not judging us, all right? And he wants to be your friend. Matter of fact, he is your friend. What would happen if churches didn't judge people? That anyone and anyone and anyone was welcome. All right? And they look like they worked the corner that night. They smell like they drank you know what, okay, and did what, all right? And they're welcome and they're not judged. Just think what this church would be like. Oh, that church. We don't do this. All right. Okay. I heard that nasty laugh. All right. All right. Now, what would happen in our church? Our community would be, whoa, you can come to YCF. They don't care if you smoke something in the parking lot. They accept me. They don't judge me. Listen, guys, sinners aren't going to walk off the street occasionally. You got to bring them. All right. And then when you do bring them, you got to not judge them. And you got to introduce them to the one who's a friend to sinners, and he's my friend. He's my friend. He's a friend to sinners, and he's my friend. So if I'm his friend, guess what I'm not doing? I am not judging. I'm not judging. All right? Do I still wrestle with it? I do. I do. I do. Kind of have my own things that I have to go, wait a minute. God didn't judge you. Jesus didn't come here to judge you. He came to love you. Amen? So, and you know what? People are tired of being judged. I'm tired of being judged. You're tired of being judged? Okay, let's not judge, all right? Jesus is a friend. Jesus is a friend to sinners. And Jesus is my friend. And I'm going to be a good friend to Jesus. I'm going to develop this by not, right? All right. So everybody say, Jesus is my friend. All right, bow your head, close your eyes. No, don't fall asleep. Pinch that person next. We're going to pray. Father God, I pray that this message burns in people's hearts. I pray that they would realize that you don't judge them. Jesus doesn't judge them, and you're their friend. You're their friend. And you love us unconditionally. That you don't judge us. I pray that just burns in people's hearts. And Father, I also pray that every person will just get to the place where they know, I'm a friend of Jesus. I'm a friend of Jesus. I'm a friend of Jesus. I'm a friend to Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, I've invited him into my house. He said, salvation has come to this house. I'm a friend of Jesus. Father, we pray that everybody would understand the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height of your love. Because I'm a friend of Jesus. Man. Hallelujah. I hope you didn't feel too ouchy here, but I'm telling you, when you get to know, amen, by the way, that's amen in Jesus' name, amen. All right. When you get to know Jesus as friend, it'll make you, it'll change you, it'll be really good. All right. So, now. We don't judge. Everybody say that. We don't judge. October 31st. Halloween! Kids dress up like witches and whatever, little princesses. Everybody say, we don't judge. We don't judge. So we're going to do something because we're a friend of Jesus. All right, we don't judge. But on October 31st at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., down this sidewalk, carloads of kids walk on my sidewalk. And parents, good parents, come with their kids. All right, and they're going to go trick-or-treating. Everybody say, we don't judge. So what do you think we should do about it? Yes, ma'am! We're giving out candy. We're not giving out tracts that say, Halloween's of the devil. Don't you know the history of that? I do know the history of that. I'm not sacrificing or worshiping. But I've got the lost that are going to come on my sidewalk. And they got to think we're not fruity, flaky, and judgy. So we're going to do trunk or treat. Who does not know what trunk or treat means? Raise your hand. Okay. Oh, good. I get to tell you. You pull up your car, you open it up, and it's decorated, not like witches and goblins, okay? It's decorated in a theme, and you give out candy with a smile because we don't judge, all right? And we're going to give out a track on who we are. We're YCF. Your kids are welcome, safe, wanted, and we love them. And so do you, right? Right? Everybody say, we don't judge. All right. I got the world that's walking by. You've got the world that's walking by. So, Stacy and I brainstormed woman of faith. I was like, okay, Stacy, how many trunks of can we get? We'll believe God for, and I said, oh, let's believe God for 10 people of YCF. You all, I'm believing for 10 people that are going to decorate their trunk of their car, open it up, and smile and say, hi! You don't have to say trick or treat. Okay, hi, how are you? Okay, and Stacy goes, oh no, Pastor D, I'm believing for 20. Yes, all right. Okay, if you own a business, I'd like to Jeep here. Okay, if you own a business, you can do that, okay? And that's it, all right? Listen, you can decorate it, Stacy, cowboys, under the sea. What was my thing? I didn't bring my thingy. I didn't bring my nose. Beach theme. Winter theme. You know, I'll be out there. What? Harvest. All right, yeah, let's be original. Harvest. Okay. Maybe you like the Ravens. You can decorate yours with Vanessa, all Ravens stuff. Okay, what else do I know about people? Yeah, the mailman stuff, Rod. I don't know what. All right. Huh? I know. Okay. Now, I would like 20 people or more from our congregation to sign up. You will have to be here at 5 o'clock, because if I tell you to get here 30 minutes, you show up late. I'm telling you. The last time we did this, and I'm like, rah! So 5 o'clock, you'll pull up your car. We're still trying to figure out how we'll do this. You'll open up your trunk if you want to have a little table with your basket, or you stand there with your basket when kids in the neighborhood come by and their parents come by and you smile and go, hi, how you doing? Okay, so you have to be here at 5, and it's from 6 to 8 o'clock.